our devotional life. And last week when we were together, we looked at how we really have to realize where we are and who we're before when we go before the Lord. And tonight, I want to look at taking our devotional life a little bit deeper, okay? And this is taken from, if you haven't read it, you need to read it. It's taken from The Deeper Christian Life by Andrew Murray. I've added scripture to it, but basically this outline is from that book. But one of the things that you and I have to realize, as you open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1, please, verse 3, is we want to fellowship with God. I hope that's your desire, to fellowship with God. And part of our devotional life is fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says this, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." One of the wonderful ministries that took place, one of the many things that took place because of Calvary, is the ministry of reconciliation, where we once who were enemies and at enmity with God because of our sin can now be reconciled. So we're thankful for that. So fellowship with God. The first and chief need of our Christian life is fellowship with God. And the divine life that is within us comes from God, and it is entirely dependent upon Him. Murray says, "As I need every moment afresh the air to breathe, as the sun every moment afresh sends down its light, so it is only in direct living communication with God that my soul can be strong." So think about it. Just as we need air and we need sunlight and we need food, we need God for our spiritual life. And so we want to make sure that we have this fellowship. Now, one of the things we need to remember when you study your Bible, the manna that the Israelites collected, what happened to the manna the next day? Unless it was a Sabbath, but what happened to the manna? It spoiled. It was gone. Okay? And the manna of one day was corrupt when the next day came. And I must every day have fresh grace from heaven. And I obtain it only in direct waiting upon God Himself. Begin each day by tarrying before God and letting Him touch you. Take time to meet with God. Now, one of the things we're going to see throughout all 10 of these points is this all takes time. Can't rush your devotions. I remember one time looking through a Christian book catalog, and it was the one-minute devotional Bible. You know, if that's all you got for God, that doesn't say much for your life. Take time. It takes time. You may have to find time. You may have to make the time. But take time to meet with God. Number two, Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. We need to set ourselves still before God. Set still before God. Psalm 4:4 says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be what? Still." Be still. To this end, let us let our first act in our devotion be a setting ourselves still before God. In prayer or even in worship. Everything depends upon God taking the chief place. I must bow quietly before Him in humble faith and adoration, seeking thus within my heart And one way to get myself quiet before God and still before God is just to think these thoughts. God is. Think about that. God is, right? God is near. God is love. And God longs to communicate with me. God is the Almighty One who works all in all, is even now waiting to work in me and make himself known. Take the time till you know that God is very near. Okay? Be still. Be still. And just be still. I remember one time I did a study on all the be stills in the Bible. You know, be still and know that I am God. A lot of times we run around like the proverbial chicken with its head cut off, you know. And, you know, that's not the way that we're going to be quiet before God. Number one, fellowship with God. Number two, set yourself still before God. Number three, James chapter 4, verse 10, take your place of deepest lowliness. Take your place of deepest lowliness. James 4, verse 10, the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. When you have given God His place of honor, glory, power, and when we take the place of deepest lowliness and seek to be filled with the spirit of humility, as a creature, it's our... Now, let me finish this statement before you say, what are you talking about? But as a creature, it is our blessedness to be nothing, that God may be all in all. Okay? As a sinner, we're not worthy to even look up to God. Bow ourselves in self-abasement. But as a saint, and as a child of God, God's love, when we humble ourselves, God's love then begins to overwhelm us. And it even helps us to even humble ourselves more. So sink down before Him in humility and meekness and patience and surrender to His goodness and mercy. He will exalt you, the Bible says. Take your time to get very low before God. Number four, Hebrews chapter 4. A couple pages back. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Then accept and value your place in Christ Jesus. Okay? We desire to fellowship with God. In desiring to fellowship with God, I need to set myself still. I need to take my place humbly. But then I need to also, while I'm there, accept the value and my place in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, and we developed it. But you know, as we come to the very throne room of God, we can come boldly because of our place in Christ Jesus. God delights in nothing but His beloved Son and can be satisfied with nothing else in those who draw nigh to Him. Take the time to enter deep into God's holy presence in the boldness which the blood gives and in the assurance that in Christ you are most well-pleasing. In Christ you are within the veil. You have access into the very heart and love of the Father. This is the great object of fellowship with God, that I may have more of God in my life. and that God may see Christ formed in me. Take the time to be silent before God and let Him bless you. And what do we keep hearing over and over and over again? Take the time. It's going to take time. It's going to take us time to A, develop this, but it's also going to take us time B, to do this. So, you know, we want to draw nigh. We can draw nigh to God. And when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And we're so thankful for that. Number five, this Christ that we know is a living person. Luke 24, verse 5. You know, sometimes because we can't see Christ, and sometimes because, you know, we can't touch Him, we may lose sense of His reality. But He is a real, living person. I love this. Luke 24, verse 5, resurrection morning. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto Him, why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus is alive. He's very much alive. And He's a living person. He loves you with a personal love. And He looks every day for the personal response of your love. He's a living person, and persons desire fellowship. And fellowship is it's pretty dull if it's one way, right? So we desire to fellowship with Him. You know what else is an awesome thought? He desires to fellowship with us. Isn't that awesome? He wants to fellowship with us. Take the time to look into His face with trust till His love shines into your heart. Make His great heart glad by telling Him that you do love Him. He offers Himself to you as a personal Savior and keeper from the power of sin. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say here. I want to make sure we don't get this backwards, because a lot of times we do. And in our salvational life, how much do you and I have to do with our salvation? Zero, right? How much do you and I have to do with our sanctification? Zero, okay? It's all Him. Now, yes, I need to yield, but as I yield, who's doing the work? So listen carefully. Do not ask yourself, can I be kept from sinning if I keep close to Him? But ask, can I be kept from sinning if He always keeps close to me? See the difference there? Now, of course, we want closeness with God. But who's keeping us close? Him. And if He keeps me close, then that will keep me from sinning. Okay? And we'll see how safe we are when we even trust Him for our daily sanctification. You can't do it, friends. You know, if the Lord saved us and said, okay, keep yourself saved, none of us would make it to heaven. None. But He keeps us saved. And He works in our lives as we yield to Him. So, if I want a fellowship with God, I need to set myself still before God. I need to take my place of deepest humility. I need to accept and value my place in Christ Jesus. Any good that is in me is only because of Him. I need to realize that Jesus is a living person. And with that, number six, His likeness is to be wrought in me. Look at Romans 8. What should be the goal of all of our Christian, all of our lives? To be more like Christ. Romans 8:28, the Bible says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, so what did God predestine us to be here? Conformed to the image of His Son. And this will happen one day completely, body, soul, and spirit, when we're resurrected and our body is glorified. But in the meantime, we should be becoming more and more like Christ. Because who does the Father delight in? His Son. And as the image of His Son is in us, He delights in us. We have not only Christ in us as a power, but His presence with us as a person. But we have His likeness to be wrought into us. So Christ's life is in us not only for its power, His presence is with us through His Spirit, but we also can have His likeness in us. You know, you start to act like whom you hang around, right? You're known by your friends, by the company you keep, right? And if we desire fellowship with God and closeness with God and His dear Son, who are we going to start acting like and being like? Christ. He is to be formed in us so that His form or figure, His likeness, can be seen in us. You know, let people see Christ in us. Take the time to bow before God until you get some sense of the greatness and blessedness of the work to be carried on by God in you this day. Say to God, Father, here I am for you to give as much in me of Christ's likeness as I can receive. I want all of Christ that I can receive today. Give that to me, Lord. Take the time and wait to hear Him say, my child, I give you as much of Christ as your heart is open to receive. The God who revealed Jesus in the flesh and perfected Him will reveal Him in you and perfect you in Him. The Father loves the Son and delights to work out His image and likeness in you. Count upon it that this blessed work will be done in you as you wait on God and have fellowship with Him. So again, we want to see Christ's likeness in us. Think about a little boy as he's growing up wanting to be like his father, you know, and then one day when he's an adult, he realizes, I'm kind of like my father. I never thought that, but you know, I look very much like my father, but I guess I act like him too. And it's kind of funny when the boys come and they say things, and we kind of chuckle at each other because, you know, that was things that I used to say. So His likeness is to be wrought in us. Number seven, also the likeness of His death and resurrection. Turn back a couple chapters, Romans 6, verse 5. The Bible says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. The likeness of Christ consists chiefly in two things, the likeness of His death and resurrection. The death of Christ was the consummation of His humility and obedience, and the entire giving up of His life to God. So, Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant. Being found in the form of servant, He became obedient even unto the death of the cross. So when we think about the likeness of His death, that is our humility, that is our obedience. Christ humbled Himself to the cross, from the heights of heaven to death on the cross, and He became obedient unto death. But also, in Him we are also dead to sin, and we sink down in humility and dependence and entire surrender to God. The power of his death works in us, and we are made conformable to his death. And so we know him then in the power of his resurrection, in our victory over sin, and all the joy and power of the risen life. Therefore, take the time every morning, as the Bible tells us, to present ourselves unto God that are as those that are alive from the dead. We will maintain the life he gave and bestow the grace to live as risen ones. I still think the morning is the best time to do this, and I still think, you know, wake up in the morning, make sure you're awake. If you need a cup of coffee, have yourself a cup of coffee, but be awake and then just take that time. It's going to cost you some sleep. You know, it's maybe going to cost you your favorite morning news show, which don't bother watching. It's the same story every day, bad news. But and spend the time with the Lord. Number 8, John 14:17, please. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, let's go back to 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Everything we're talking about tonight can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. We can't do this in and of ourselves. It's impossible. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do this. That's the wrong way to go about it. You know, here am I, Lord, fill me. I'm waiting upon you. I'm humbly coming before you. Count upon him to glorify Christ in you. Count upon Christ to increase in you the overflowing of his Spirit. As you wait before God to realize his presence, remember that the Spirit is in you to reveal the things of God. Seek in God's presence to have the anointing of the Spirit of Christ so truly that your whole life may every moment be spiritual. What are the two options for a believer to be filled with? Be filled with the Spirit or filled with flesh? Two options. If I sow unto the Spirit, I reap life. If I sow unto the flesh, I reap death. Okay? And so we need the Spirit to do this. We need the Spirit to help us to come before God in the right way so that our devotional life can be one of meaning. And we can, as we started off with the verse in 1 John, truly have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Not just a passing, hey, you know, you ever... I know sometimes this happens, but sometimes, you know, you're like two ships that pass in the night, you know, husband and wife. Hey, how you doing? Good. Yeah, see you later. All right. You know, and kids running in and out of the house. It's not how it should be. Take time. Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verse 2. And with this, we need to meditate on this wondrous salvation. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Every day. Meditate. You know, so many times we haphazardly enter the Word and entered the presence of God, and we read something, and We can't meditate on it because we've forgotten what we've read. So we need to make sure, you know, we're quiet before Him. We're still before Him. We're asking the Spirit to work. We want to read this word because we want to become Christ-like. And then it gives us something to meditate on through the day. Take a 3x5 card. You know, a verse spoke to you this morning, write it down. If you're, or, you know, write it on your phone if you have some kind of a note thing on your phone. Write it on your palm, anywhere, you know. But you know, so something that would help you meditate, you know, on what you learned that day through the rest of the day. As you meditate on this wondrous salvation and seek full fellowship with the great and holy God and wait on Him to reveal Christ in you, you will feel how needful the giving up of all is to receive Him. Seek grace to know what it means to live as holy for God as Christ did. Only the Holy Spirit Himself can teach you what an entire yielding of the whole life to God can mean. Wait on God. To show you in this what you do not know, let every approach to God and every request for fellowship with Him be accompanied by a new, very definite, and entire surrender to His work in you. Again, this all takes time. And it's, you know, maybe you can't do it in the morning, then find it sometime throughout the day or in the evening to do it. But take the time. You will benefit spiritually from it. Not, you know something, friends? The world we live in is getting worse and worse. It's not going to get better. And many things are being taken away from us. And, you know, we may have a little bit of retirement left, money in the account by the time we get there. We may not. Who knows? You know, but they can never take Christ away from us. And you can never, He'll never leave us or forsake us. And if you have Christ, you have enough. You have more than enough. But we in America sometimes don't feel that way, you know. I've been blessed to go to some other third world countries and share the gospel with people, and I had the privilege of going to the Philippines on 5 different occasions, and the Philippines they're very poor people, but they have Christ, the Christians that I have met. I've gone to church buildings where it's only a military tin roof, no sides, no windows. The church pews are like picnic benches, no backs. Church cleaning there is a breeze, literally. The breeze blows in and blows out. So, you know, and they are some of the richest Christians in the world. If we have Christ, we have enough. Meditate on His wonder salvation. And number 10, by faith. Do this by faith. Faith is the keynote. Romans 1. Of course, the gospel, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, what is the therein? For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith. So we enter this wonderful relationship with God through Christ, through faith. And do we continue then to need faith as time goes on? We do, every day. It's present tense. It's a continuing in the Lord. Continue to have faith. By faith, must hear, as through all Scripture and all the spiritual life, be the keynote. As you tarry, as you wait before God, let it be in deep and quiet faith in Him, the invisible one, who is so near, so holy, so mighty, so loving. In a deep, restful faith, too, that all the blessings and power of the heavenly life are around you and in you. Yet just yield yourself in the faith of a perfect trust to the ever-blessed Holy Trinity to work out all God's purposes in you. Begin each day thus in fellowship with God, and God will be all in all to you. Now, none of us have ever seen God. None of us have ever experienced God with our senses, with our five senses. We've never seen Him, touched Him, heard Him, you know, smelt Him. But I'm amazed that John, in the beginning of his gospel and the beginning of his epistles, he says, you know, that which we have seen from the beginning, which our eyes have seen, our ears have heard. And I was reading my Bible today in preparation for Sunday's message and came across the passage where John laid his head on Jesus' breast. And I have a handwritten note in there. It's a question. Did John hear God's heartbeat? Isn't that amazing? Now, we don't experience God that way, but by faith, He's just as real to us. You cannot disprove God to me, because He has given me the faith to believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God has proved Himself without me ever seeing Him with my physical eye, hearing Him with my physical ear. Yes, we hear Him when He speaks to us, but in a spiritual sense. But I've never heard God like I hear you, but He is, in my life, more real than even the folks I'm looking at here. And that's how it should be. By faith. Everything needs to be by faith. So, friends, I'm not satisfied with my devotional life. And I want to have a deeper devotional life. And I hope you do too. I hope you're never satisfied where you are spiritually. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And keep drawing closer to where, like John, when we're having our devotions, our head is laying on His breast as He speaks to us and as we speak to Him. Fellowship with God. Set yourself still before God. Take your place of deepest lowliness. Accept and value your place in Christ Jesus. This Christ is a living person. His likeness is to be wrought in us, the likeness of His death and resurrection. His Holy Spirit dwells within us. Meditate on this wondrous salvation. And we do all this by faith. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. You know, we find times for things that are important to us, don't we? You know, and the most important thing in our lives, if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, the most important things in our life should be our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Find time. Make time. Take time. Set your alarm early, or go to bed a little later, or turn something off, whatever. But find that time and do it, and you will benefit greatly, because you will have enjoyed fellowship with God. Father, help us to do this. We cannot do this in and of ourselves. We cannot at all do this in and of ourselves. We can only do this in You. So please help us, Lord, to yield to Your Spirit. And help us to seek to fellowship with You. And help us to find the time and take the time. And then do it for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.